Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, great to have you with us here. Friday morning, Labor Day weekend upon us. A lot of you have a long weekend coming up. Enjoy it. In the meantime, it's an Is It Just Me Friday, where, of course, we give you a chance to one, get things off your chest. Can be about anything and everything. Just give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? And two, it's Friday. We like to get loose.
Sure.
And if you listen to that first hour, Mark is loose.
Right. Right.
Properly, and then, properly caffeinated and loose.
Right. And then, you know, I have to respond to somebody with a little bit of a, you know, on the text line because, you know, sports, you guys are having to. And here's the deal.
This isn't supposed to be fun.
Right. Like, I do this, understand my whole career is based on one thing. Well, based on a couple things. Ability to tell a story, right? And entertaining myself. I don't do this for you. I do it for me. I entertain myself. And if you don't like it, I don't care. Because for every one of you, there's 100 people that are like, hey, you know what? I'm going to a job I don't like, and this eases the tension. I happen to have several jobs that I love. It's like my dad told me when I was a little boy, Mike. He goes, find something you love to do, and you'll never have to go to work.
Poolside.
Poolside. I'm telling you, I don't feel like I've worked a day in my life. I've been chasing a dream ever since I was a little kid. How good is that? Hey, man, I'm blessed. I get it. Like, I'm not trying to say, hey, my life is great. I understand that, you know, there's a lot of people that have jobs that they don't necessarily care for. I'm not one of those people, and I've been blessed to be able to do something that I love to do. So if you're not entertained, I don't care. I don't.
Yeah, when you're singing your version of the escape song, I just laugh.
Right.
I love it.
If
yeah.
you like Uncle Wynn, name it up. Get caught in the rain.
Yeah.
If you're not into health food. If
By the
like
way,
into champagne.
My lyrics were spot on.
So sharp.
Yeah, Rupert Holmes would just absolutely love it.
Right now, he'd hear that, he'd be going,
That's all called the Malice. We're planning our escape.
He'd be like, him,
yeah.
him, him.
What we gonna do about him?
Yeah, he would be all over that.
All over that.
All right.
Okay.
Back to sports.
Boom, get back on track.
Cecil Lammy was on with us, and he said something that just infuriates me. And I get where he's coming from, but it just seems so backwards to me. He said, Mac Jones wouldn't be a fit here because he wouldn't fit into Pat Shurmur's offense. That is so backwards. So you're telling me a guy who would fit with Sean Payton in New Orleans, or apparently does fit with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels in New England, isn't a fit for the Denver Broncos because Pat Shurmur is the roadblock. Do you realize how wrong
we were
that
actually
is?
Trying to throw incompletions?
You're telling me you're going to pass on a guy you believe can be really, really good in a particular system, but instead of getting the kind of coaching to fit that kind of skill set, you're just going to pass on that guy because he doesn't fit with a coordinator who is going to be here today, gone tomorrow? Please explain that to
me. Yeah, I really can't because you and I are on the same page. I think it's incumbent upon your coordinator and your coaching staff to get the best out of your players and to put your players in a position to win. Now, Mike, here's the thing that as simple as that sounds, and it is simple, right? It's simple. As simple as it sounds, it is really hard to execute. Because guys have egos. Guys have things they want to do. Guys have things that they count on happening. And they have a real tough time altering that. You know, there's a difference between calling plays and calling an offense. in my mind. Right? Setting up your offense, putting your players in positions. You have to have an identity. You have to have things that you want to do or that you're going to do on a weekly basis. But you also have to have ingenuity in how we're going to attack a certain scheme, the way we're going to do that, the way we're going to set those things up, and the adjunct plays that go with the things we're doing. Here's the point about plays. It's very much like pitching. If you throw four pitches and they're all from different arm slots, you're going to suck. So if you can't call a play and make it look identical to the adjunct play that goes with it, you're not going to be very good because the defense will sniff that out. And so for me, from a fit standpoint, now listen, here's where fit works. If you're hell-bent for election to run an offense like they run in Baltimore, one of one, then yeah, fit's important. You better have a quarterback that's off the level, off the charts athletic, right? If that's what you're committed to doing. But if you're running a standard offense in the league where everybody, it's all called differently, there's all different language to it. What is Buffalo in San Francisco might be Charger in Minnesota, and it might be, it might be Viper somewhere else. But it's the exact same route combination. Exactly the same. And so if you're a coordinator that looks at a guy and says, yeah, you know, he doesn't give me the ultimate boot keep game, so I'm going to get off. You change what you do. You change the type of play action you have. You make sure it fits what that guy can do. But you don't get off a guy who's deadly accurate, that is above the X's and O's when it comes to intelligence, that really understands and is instinctual in his play, because you can't run a boot keep game as well. That's stupid. It's just dumb.
Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30. Save the Button Challenge, a week away from the deadline. We'll see how he's doing today. But up next, as Mark begins his deep dive into his Broncos-Giants prep, is he seeing any differences between this year's Broncos and last year's Broncos? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
On an Is It Just Me Friday, little sampling on the text line. Is it just me? Now everyone's all on and right about Mac Jones. Come on now, let's see how the lumpy fella looks this season before we crown him. He is squishy still. Till it becomes proven, he's still right. Squishy Mac.
Yeah, he is, and he's got to do it. He's got to do it in the regular season. And I get that, Mike. Again, his decision making, the quickness, the speed, the alacrity, I like that word, that he makes decisions with, and then his ability to trigger. It's like, you know, there's a difference. Triggering is a good word because you see it on the defensive side of the ball all the time. Guy sees it, bam, puts his foot in the ground and just explodes to make a tackle on a, you know, on a crossing route, say a shallow cross that you think is going to get you 9 yards and it ends up getting you three. And now all of a sudden you're behind the chains, right? Because the guy recognizes, sticks his foot in the ground, triggers and makes a great tackle. His triggering is, I see what I see. I trust what I see. I don't wait. Like Drew Lock does not trigger well. Because Drew Lock, and this is part of the growth process that he's going through right now, because he doesn't necessarily always trust exactly what he sees. And so he's going to hold on to the ball. This is a game where 5/10 of a second is the difference between a completion, an incompletion, interception, a pick six, a strip sack fumble, like 0.5 seconds makes that big a difference. And if you're just holding on to it for a second because you're not quite sure if you got what you got and you got to get back to the backside, but you're just going to hang on for a minute, that you're done. It's over. And what I see with Mac Jones is he hits his spot, man, and he sees what he sees. He believes what he sees. And, man, he just lets her rip. You know, damn, that there are no icebergs in this water. Damn the consequences. He is the captain of the Titanic, and he don't care. And you know what? He
How'd
does
that
it the right
out?
Way. Well, he does it the right way. Well, I mean, the captain of the Titanic was told the ship was unsinkable. So he's rolling through iceberg-infested waters going, hey, this ship's unsinkable. And he's the moron that thought it was unsinkable.
He got some bad intel.
He did get some bad info. It's like when they tell Mac Jones they'll never play this defense, and you throw it, and they're playing that defense, right? They're trapping, Kai. They're playing palms in cover two, and you try to throw the little out, and bam, it's picked for a six.
This one from Josh in Castle Rock. Bacon, bacon, bacon. Baltimore completely changed their offense to get the best out of Lamar Jackson. Baltimore did not have the same offense now that they did with Flacco, to go along with your point of the coach getting the best out of the player. By the way, we read that because he threw bacon, bacon, bacon at the front, and there are certain buzzwords that will get our attention.
Right. That's just,
so if you're looking for something to get read,
right,
that's a way to get our focus.
Yeah, that's just smart.
That's just smart.
That's just really smart.
But it's a good take.
It is a good take, and you're 100% right. Now, understand what they had there at the time when they made that transition. They had two guys that were very versed in that type of offensive transition. Marty Mortingwig, who was a longtime coach in this league, a head coach at one point, I think, in Detroit. But Marty was a guy that really was kind of a, he was a quarterback when I was playing in Idaho. He was at Montana. And Marty went through the league kind of in the Mouse Davis spread type of offense and all that kind of stuff, right? But he was versed in both, you know, traditional and kind of spread offenses. And so he was the coordinator at the time for Joe Flacco. Joe gets hurt, and there's not only Marty who's versed in some of that stuff, but they also had Greg Roman. Now, Greg Roman was the quarterback coach, but he was the coordinator in San Fran when Colin Kaepernick came in and took that team to a Super Bowl because of the style of offense that they ran. So they basically morphed and amalgamated those two offensive kind of systems together and created this system for Lamar. Then they let Marty go. Marty's now retired. Good guy. Great guy. I keep in contact with a guy that's a information guy for me at times, just from a concept standpoint. And so Marty is now retired, and Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator and has done a phenomenal job creating a system that is really tailored to his quarterback. It's smart. That's smart football. It takes a head coach, though, by the way, and John Harbaugh to say, let's turn the league on its ear. And John Harbaugh, the conversation I had with John was like, hey, man, we're going to do something that we're going to be one of one. We're going to do something that nobody else does. And we've got stuff stockpiled that nobody's ever seen. Hasn't been run forever, or maybe never in this league.
Is it just me from this texter? Is it just me, or the truth is this coaching staff is a bunch of dead men walking who won't be here past this year? It's not right that a bunch of guys who won't be here next year get to decide the Broncos' future.
Well, here's the problem with that take. As currently constructed, with the way this team has performed, you're 100% right. What if this is a top three defense, top five defense? What if they create a bunch of turnovers like the 2018 Bears, who led the league in turnovers? What if they win? Maybe it's ugly, but they win with complimentary football and they run the ball. What if all of a sudden they're 10-7 and they get into the final wild card spot? That staff is not getting fired. So I know there are a lot of what ifs there. And from, like, when you look at what's happened here in the last couple of years compared to what is going on right now, it's hard for you to grasp that that could happen. It's hard for me to grasp that that could happen. like that's going to change. But it's entirely possible. And we'll see. You know what? Here's the great thing. And this goes back to a year ago when you said kind of your parallel tracks theory, right?
You love that one.
I did love the parallel tracks theory. But here's the great part in kind of where we are right now as a franchise. We're going to find out. Hey, man, we're going to find out if Vic Fangio can be a head coach or just the head coach of the defense. We're going to find out if Pat Shurmur can call a game that best fits and best suits the quarterback and the style of defense that they're going to play. We're going to find all that stuff out. And then we're going to be able to make, or our GM is going to be able to make, a informed decision. Because it's no longer they. Now it's we. We've established that, right? It was they. Now it's a we.
It is we now.
It is. I mean, we straight went
we went to
the French. I don't know what you get the French cuisine. What is, like, I know you, it's French onion soup, French fries, right? French dressing, escargots. Like, all those things, I believe, are French.
They are. So, to the core.
Yeah. So I think if you, I don't know what else the French eat. I really don't.
This text.
Oui, oui.
I love this text. Fart, 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 bacon, fat, wings, bacon, fat wings. That's all I've got. That may be all you got.
That's all you need, baby.
But you got it red.
Yeah, that's
coming
all
up,
you need.
Four down territory. I'm going to try again what I tried in the morning brew, and that is to somehow get in a conversation about Albert O. Let's see if I get sidetracked and derailed yet again. That's next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Post the file. 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, bread. First down.
Yeah, honestly, when I was out there, and when I'm out here practicing, I don't think about it at all. So that's been the biggest blessing with this whole ACL process. Is it's not even on my mind or anything.
Albert Okwuegbunam. We're just going to leave it at that, and we move on. I'm not...
Yeah, it's pronounced Okwuegbunam.
Okwu.
We're not doing this again.
Okwuegbunam.
Okwuegbunam.
Okwuegbunam. Completely sidetracked us back during the morning brew. I'm not...
That's incredibly helpful, by the way.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thanks, Dean. Do you still believe that Albert O could be a more impactful, prolific, productive tight end for the Broncos than Noah Fant?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do. I know that the NFL game is played so much more in the middle of the field than is the college game, the collegiate game. There's less space. So to me, you have to have, not, even though he has elite speed, Mike, I mean, Albert O has elite speed, like Noah Fant does. I just think fluidity of movement. I think he is better in and out of breaks, or I think he can be better in and out of breaks. So I just think that he is a tougher one-on-one matchup on the inside than is, you know, Noah Fant. Noah Fant's had some injury issues all preseason. And again, that's just my initial take on those two players.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
So, yeah, I'm going 100% with what I'm able to do. But, you know, continue as we get more reps and I get more team reps and more work in, more of those natural reps are going to come in.
Saquon Barkley had his first full contact practice in almost a year. It's been 11 months since he took any kind of contact. Will he be on any kind of a pitch count next week against the Broncos?
Absolutely. But did you hear what he just said? I mean, I think it was fairly telling what he said. I'm at 100% for what I'm able to do.
Mm.
Meaning there are things that they're not having him do, right? I'm at 100% in the things that they're asking me to do, but there are things that they're not asking me to do. Am I reading too much into that?
No.
I don't think I am. So that says to me, yeah, I'm available, but I am still working on a pitch count, and there are certain things they don't want to ask me to do.
What do you think those things are? Maybe being used more in the passing game or being used more as like a run up between the tackles type guy.
Yeah, I think more of the don't let's not use him in the passing game as much outside the numbers, right? I mean, it's more to me like let's get him going straight downhill in some of our run schemes, but let's keep it more between the tackles. Almost as counterintuitive to what you think, because to me, when you get out there on the edge with DBs and everything else, now you're getting guys flying at your legs and you got to make those stops in the open field and cut back the other way. And I think that there's probably a part that they're a little concerned about that stuff, especially when you're playing for the Giants and you're playing on turf. So I think all those things factor in. So I think there are things that he's 100% on, but I think there are other things that they're still concerned about him reacting to.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Locked. Freeman blocked by Beck. Touchdown. 1 yard. And the Broncos are on the board. Royce Freeman.
Royce Freeman, cut here, hooks on with the Panthers. Good fit?
Yeah, I mean, it's
for
good.
Him?
Yeah, I think it's good for Royce Freeman. I think it's a really good, you know, it's a good opportunity. Now, good fit, I mean, that's a tough question to answer, because when you're looking at that depth chart, obviously you have Christian McCaffrey, right? The kid that they had last year that played really well for them, he left, I think. So yeah, then you got some young guys, you know, and Hubbard they drafted, right? Chuba Hubbard or whatever his name is. So did Chuba or Chuba? Chuba Huba? Chuba Chuby? Chuba Dooby Doo? Chuba Huba. Chuba Hubba. Like Bubba Hubba. Bubba. What was it? Bubble gum.
Hubba Bubba. Hubba Bubba.
Oh, love Hubba
so
Bubba.
So juicy.
I loved Hubba Bubba.
Hubba that Bubba. That was just like a big old wad of sugar.
Yeah.
Hubba Bubba.
And that sugar
diabetes.
Drain down your throat. And then you make a big giant, like who could make the biggest bubble. And then you take the bubble out of your and you're holding it out of your mouth.
Look at this.
And then you put it right back in. That was before you were worried about things like COVID.
That's right.
Like, there was nothing that could get
on
that.
Hey, look at this one.
Yeah.
Feel free to breathe on it. I'm good.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give it a lick. Taste it. Yeah. Simpler times. Bubba Bubba. Takes me back.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
So it looks like the Cowboys, at least for now, are going to pass on signing Cam Newton.
Yeah, why? I mean, I understand that. Why?
Well, I mean, do you see who their backups are? Didn't they just get rid of both of them? DiNucci and Gilbert?
Gilbert? Like Gilbert Grape?
Like DiNucci and Gilbert.
Sounds like a law firm.
Gilbert, and DiNucci.
Gannucci.
Have you been injured?
What? It's all Gilbert and Gannucci. I love Gannucci, by the way. It's like that this stuff that looks like rice, but it's pasta. Gannucci.
It's called Gannucci?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it's spelled like G-N-O-C-C-H-I, right?
Yeah, Gannucci, Gannacci. Tomato, tomato.
What are we talking about?
Talk about.
They still have Cooper Rush there. Yeah,
have Cooper Rush there.
If there's an injury to Dak at some point, they'll go out and shop for a real quarterback. You know, for a like mm-hmm. Somebody who can come in and start. I don't see anybody in the NFL beating down the Cam Newton door.
So does Cam just sit here for the next month until somebody has an injury?
Cam, right? Yeah, I think Cam is in a place right now in his career where people don't look at him as a real viable backup, and they're like he's going to bide his time until there's an injury and somebody needs kind of quote unquote a starting quarterback. So I just kind of think that's where he is right now. I think the other thing is early, Mike, like early, one, you don't want to sign Cam and have to guarantee his entire contract this week. So he's kind of almost off the table until week two, where you don't have to guarantee, you know, it's all that guaranteed money and what you have to do and how organizations play that. The other thing is organizations really want to see a young guy kind of, well, they want to be healthy, obviously, one, but they want to see what their young guys can do because they save them a lot of money. And so it's kind of, I think, where they are right now. Like Cam Newton may draw some more interest after week one. But before week one, I don't think there's a lot of interest in Cam Newton.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, a tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Up next, we'll get a Save the Button update. Also, Mark has begun his deep dive into the Broncos, prepping for Giants-Broncos week one. What's standing out? That's next. Hey, I know that others like to give Mark grief about all things Mark, but one thing I am sincere about is the respect that I know you have for the game and how much work you put into prepping for these games that you're going to be calling. You got the Broncos and the Giants, and I know you'll do an exhaustive film breakdown of both teams, so you've started to look at the Broncos. Now, you did, what, three Bronco games last year?
I did the Tampa game. I did the New Orleans game. I did the Buffalo game.
You did three.
Three, I think.
Yeah, you did three.
Yeah.
So I'm just
one
kinda,
of those without a quarterback.
One
so
without a quarterback.
Scrap pile that game.
But I'm curious, just in your initial study of the Broncos on film, this year's Broncos, what's jumping out, what's standing out, if anything, as compared to what you studied last year?
Well, I think there's a couple things. More commitment to the run, Mike. But a lot more commitment to different personnel packages. And I think one of the things for me that I believe in, that I think really good teams do, now there's always going to be an outlier or two, like the Rams. Although the Rams have morphed. So I did the Rams a couple of years ago, and when they had their, what year did they go to the Super Bowl? 2018? Was it the 2018 season or 2017 season? Whatever. Do you know that the Rams were in 11 personnel 98% of their snaps? The only time they were not in 11.
Playing 11 personnel again,
real three quick. Wide receivers, yep. One tight end, one back. So, you know, they call it, in the West Coast offense, they call it zebra. So they were in zebra, 11 personnel, three wides, 98% of the time. The only time that they varied from three wides that year, whatever year that was in short, in goal line situations and in kneel down victory formation. That was it. I mean, it was incredible. Now they have morphed into using a lot more two tight end packages. One of the big differences for me from last year to what we saw in the preseason and at practice was how many formation variations we got, or not formation variations, but personnel variations. How much more fullback there was, how much more two tight end situations there were, how much more 21, two backs, one tight end, or 12, two tight ends, one back formations we got through the preseason. And Shermer has always been a guy that people have complained about by being stuck in three wides.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Getting into those formations and living in those formations. So I saw much more commitment to running the football. I've seen more commitment to using motion, fly motion, sweep, orbit motion, fly sweep or orbit motion, running some reverses off of that, but to hold the backside for your running game, some different variations. But most of all, what I've seen is far deeper personnel groupings, like making the defense make a choice. Are we going to play them in base? Are we going to play them in nickel? Are they looking to run? Are they looking to throw out of these things? The really good ones will get into more heavy personnel, 21, 12, and they'll throw it out of that, and they'll get into more spread personnel and run it out of that stuff, and basically trying to get favorable matchups in the run game, in the passing game. So, you know, especially when you have tight ends that can run, Mike, when you have tight ends that can run and you show people heavy formations, even 22 personnel, two backs and two tight ends, one wide receiver on the field, right? Those are your five eligibles. And when you get into those heavy packages, you're going to get heavy packages on defense. So can we get a linebacker matched up on one of our tight ends that runs 4-4 and a linebacker who's slow? Because we will eat that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So how are you going to match us? And I've just seen a better, in my mind, a better mixture and a better attention to formationally and personnel grouping wise attack a defense.
Let's hope that continues into the games that count. I'm hopeful that we'll see a different Pat Shurmur this year because he's another year removed from being a head coach. Therefore, the idea that I have to really impress with my offense to be able to get another chance to be a head coach is fading. And also, he's got Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback, not Drew Lock. You know, if you got Drew Lock and you can make Drew Lock into a star, again, that's the stuff that 80-year-old owners love.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now he's got Teddy Bridgewater. I think if you're looking for a perfect storm for Pat Shurmur to be able to realize, hey, I got to kind of change my stripes as a play caller from what I did last year to this year, I think this is that perfect storm.
I think
that he will be a little bit more conservative and really try to commit more to running the football, which is something we all agree they have to do.
What'd they come in with last year? I mean, Wrinkles got fired because why? We want to take more shots down the field. We hired Shurmur to take more shots. Nobody took more shots down the field than Shurmur with the Giants a year ago. That's what we've hired. Okay, well, that's what you did last year. How'd that work out for you? Didn't work out. Now you got somebody that, theoretically speaking, doesn't really have the hose to take a bunch of shots down the field, right? That's not what his game is. I tell you, the best chance, and I don't think that Shurmur's going to get another opportunity to be a head coach. There's only one way he gets another opportunity to be a head coach, Mike. You know what that is?
If the Broncos win.
Even that. If they fire Vic Fangio, you become an interim head coach.
Yeah.
And then if you operate well as an interim head coach, then maybe you get a real opportunity to be a head coach, either here or somewhere else.
Yeah. You're right. That's fair. That's the only path.
That's the path.
Yeah.
So you better operate efficiently on offense. You better figure out a way to score 4 to 27 points a game with the defense you have. And the best way to do that is run the ball, set up your play action, create a system for Teddy to excel in. That's the best way to do that. And you'll get recognized for that.
Yeah, you have two paths. One, Vic gets fired, you take over as an interim, and you try to impress that way. Or this team wins, and we know how the league is.
Right.
The league is always drawn to winning teams, winning coaches, and hey, what do they got going on there? Oh, it looks interesting. I want to tap into some of that.
Right.
So that'd be the only other way to do it. You'll be doing a lot of Giants film study this weekend. My question is, are you somebody that likes to snack while he's going through hours of film?
No, when I get really dialed in, like whether it's yard work or whether it's film study, I just get dialed in.
So you forget to eat?
I just forget to eat.
That's good. That's good.
Right.
So a lot of yard work, a lot of film.
Yeah.
Could lead to some positive results. And with that, let's get a Save the Button update.
It's time for Save the Button.
Please do not make me press this button.
No, not the buttons! Not my gumdrop button!
Every day we check in with Mark Schlereth to see if he's one step closer to fitting into his game day suit.
When my neck is eating my chin.
Will Stink lose enough LBs before kickoff?
I like to think of myself as Fat Chris Hemsworth.
Let's find out.
Diabetes.
Right now.
Yeah, sometimes you'll just be like going about your day and just something will pop into your head that you just laugh at.
Yeah.
I swear to God, sometimes, not the gumdrop buttons just drop into my head sometimes.
Right? That is good.
Just randomly, just, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are now we're less than a week away
Yeah.
We're less than a week away before you have to make weight so that when you go on television for the Broncos-Giants game and they do that obligatory third quarter cut to the booth and everyone's relaxed, you know, the jackets are off.
Right.
You know, so that everyone's watching, it's like, ooh, they're really working hard up there in the booth.
Yeah.
Look at them. They got their jackets off and their sleeves rolled up. But it's always in the moment where I look at that top button of your dress shirt, I'm like, ooh, that top button is struggling.
Oh, just gasping for air.
Gasping. Help me.
Right.
So where are we at this morning?
Happy to report I didn't lose any weight, but I didn't gain any weight. So I've gone back-to-back days in the 40s at 49.
And change.
And a little change.
Yeah, but at this point.
No, that's good.
At this point.
Stabilization, Mike.
Stable's not good. You need.
No, stable is good.
No, you
because
need
it means your body has to sit in a place going, wait, what's this new 49 stuff? What? And then all of a sudden it settles and it's like, oh, I'm okay here. Whoof. Then it just comes off.
Okay, but you're trying to get from 249 and change to 243.
Yeah.
Even. No change allowed.
Zero change.
Zero change. So that's still six and change. That's a few more stabilization levels to get to and break through.
No, I get it.
You don't have much time left.
I got to go a pound a day.
Well,
pound a day.
When did we start this? When did we start Save the Button? Was it about a month ago?
No. Yeah, this is the start
three
of our
weeks.
Third week.
Maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is the start of our third week.
Okay. And you started at 259 and change.
Yeah.
You're basically 260.
Truth be told, I had started a couple days earlier, so I was really 265. And so I was.
This isn't going to happen. It's too much.
It's not too much.
Why? Too much.
Why would you put negativity out there?
I'm just being realistic. It's too much.
No, it's negative.
No, it's too much.
Too much.
Too much for you.
It's not too much.
Too much.
It's not too much.
You cannot afford any setbacks. Any.
There will be no setbacks.
There will be no setbacks.
Well.
Butterfly sticks.
That's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Why don't you share with everybody what you told me? Because you're right. The steak you ate last night was fine. 12-ounce steak.
Yes, it was.
And if you had just stopped there, it would have been fine. But then what did you do?
Well, I mean, the granddaughters were over. They left a couple little nuggets, little steak nuggets on their plates. I'm just going to flush them down the garbage
steak
disposal.
Yeah.
So I ate those little nuggets.
Right.
And then my wife had like a little hunk of grizzly fat.
You ate fat.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, it was a hunk that was probably the size of my thumb, but I'm talking about my thumb where it goes all the way down into your palm, that part. It was delicious. So, but all I had was that and broccoli. I had a little bit of wild rice that she made, very small serving, because it was delicious. It had a lot of mushrooms in it, which I like.
Any appetizers?
Nope.
There were no chips and dip? Salsa out or anything like that?
No, sir.
You avoided all that?
I avoided it all. So I am on track, Mike.
Okay.
I'm on track.
All right.
Don't be surprised.
Big weekend. Seriously, no joke. With everything you got planned this weekend, when we get together on Monday, you got to be, you're 249 and change. You got to be 246.
Yeah.
Well, No change. No change.
That's three. Yeah.
I'd say watch your ass.
You need three and heavy change this weekend.
I need to bring my digital scale in here and weigh in. I just need to strip down.
Oh, God.
Like at 6:30 and take my weight. Because I'm weighing in pre.
Right.
Right.
Right. Pre-morning constitutional.
Yes.
Right. Right.
So, that change is gone. That's what I'm telling you.
That's the change eliminator right there. We may not get rid of...
That change got spent.
We may not get rid of pounds, but we get rid of the change.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
All right. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.